Welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlicks.com. PureFlicks.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast. This is Billy Hollowell, and I am excited to be here. It is almost Christmas. We are just days away from my favorite holiday, and I have to tell you, I am super excited for Christmas this year. Normally, I'm really excited for the holiday, but this year, I'm especially excited because it's been a crazy year. I mean, 2020 has been wild for so many different reasons. There has obviously been so much illness, so much debate and chaos out in the world. There has been COVID and all of the fallout from that, which a lot of us are still dealing with. And yet we have this amazing opportunity at Christmas time to A, think about the new year, obviously the reboot, but most importantly to focus on the reason for this season, which is Jesus, why he came, what that means for humanity. And so I am always excited for that. But this year, there's something I think special about this time where we can pause and reflect. And I don't want to diminish, though, the difficulties that people are facing, because I know there's a lot of struggling going on out there. And, you know, we've got to be praying for one another, being there for one another, helping others, looking for ways this season to do that. And so I'd encourage you all to be looking for those ways to help people in your community, even if it's just, you know, soup kitchens or food pantries, calling those local areas and saying, hey, how can I help? You know, if there are churches that need help in your community to help others, how can you be involved? And so I want to start the show, though, today, not only by encouraging you to do those things, but by talking about something that I think is kind of amazing and encouraging that we are going to see in the skies this season. And it starts on December 21st. What I'm referring to is this so-called, quote, Christmas star. Now, this is basically something that happens not frequently, okay? So when I talk about the Christmas star, it's an alignment of planets, essentially, in the sky that's going to look very bright. And this particular Christmas star, and again, it's not the same star that the wise men saw that led them to the Christ child, but it's reflective of that, and it's fascinating that it's happening on December 21st, right before Christmas, in such a chaotic year. It's such a, I think, powerful reminder that there is a God who loves us, who created this amazing universe and this world and all of us, and that we all have purpose. And all right, so let me get into it. What is the Christmas star? We talked about this over on the PureFlix Insider, insider.pureflix.com. You can read the story. But basically, there was a story in Forbes last month by Jamie Carter, and Jamie explained that what we're going to see is essentially an alignment of Jupiter and Saturn and their position in the skies. And so on December 21st, the two planets are going to, quote, appear to collide to become one super bright point of light. So from Earth's view, basically, the two will appear to be moving closer together, and they've been doing that since last summer, but in reality, they're actually still 400 million miles apart, which is amazing. But it's the alignment in the sky of the planets that will make them look as though they're near one another. And so it's pretty amazing. I go into all the details, but what's so crazy about this is that this is the first time in 800 years that this particular alignment has unfolded, right? With again, Jupiter and Saturn and the way that they will appear in the sky. Now, this will apparently be visible just after sunset on the 21st. And actually, it's supposed to really be falling between December 16th and 25th. And so you can read more of the details over on insider.pureflix.com, but it's going to be happening on Christmas as well. And so just after sunset, you'll be able to see it. And again, it's pretty rare. There's a guy named Dr. Patrick Hartigan, and he's an astronomer at Rice University. He said, quote, alignments between these two planets are rather rare, occurring once every 20 years or so, but this conjunction is exceptionally rare because of how close the planets will appear to one another. You'd have to go all the way back to just before dawn on March 4th, 1226 to see a closer alignment between these objects visible in the night sky. And again, there are people out there who will say, well, maybe there was a similar alignment that did lead the wise men to Jesus, right? There may have been something in the sky that wasn't a star necessarily, but that was the alignment of planets and appeared to be a star. And so there's a whole discussion and debate about that, and we talk about some of that in the story over at PureFlix Insider. I just see this as obviously an amazing way to remember the reason for the season. It points us back to Jesus, I think, right? And that reminder of this amazing real-life story that transformed humanity. It is the greatest story ever told. Jesus coming to earth, becoming man, and saving us all from our sins. And the beginning of that story obviously being Christmas, the birth of Christ. And I love it. So you can read more about that. And obviously, I wanted to talk about Christmas on this episode. So we've done that already, but it's not done, because Jim Dennison, founder of the Dennison Forum, he does an amazing job explaining difficult topics. And we're actually going to welcome him to the show in a moment to talk to us about Christmas, right? Where do our traditions come from? Who is the real life Santa Claus? What does all of this mean? And a lot of us, we have these traditions, putting up a Christmas tree, all these different things, and we have no idea where those traditions come from. And so we're going to be asking Jim about that. And I want to also let you guys know that this is our last episode, okay, of 2020, that we are going to be coming back in 2021 with a new season of the PureFlix podcast with your favorite artists, with your favorite actors, and with amazing episodes. And I'm super excited about that. So this is our final episode of the year, the final episode of the season, and I am super pumped for what's to come. So stay tuned here after the break, and we are going to be bringing Jim Dennison in to talk about Christmas, all of our Christmas traditions. We will be right back.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's EDIFI.app.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to PureFlix.com right now to start your free trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today.
And we're back with more of the PureFlix podcast. I am excited to welcome Jim Dennison to the show. We're going to be talking Christmas, and so much more. Hey, Jim, how's it going today?
Doing great. So glad to be back on. Thanks for the privilege.
I'm glad to have you back on. And I have to tell you, your latest paper, what you're tackling here, is a topic that I absolutely love. And it has to do with Christmas traditions, in particular, Santa. What does the Bible say about Santa Claus? Now, I know the answer, but what does the Bible say about Santa, Jim?
Well, obviously, Santa Claus is not in the Bible per se, but the Bible has a great deal to say about the birth of Jesus, about Christmas, the circumstances surrounding his birth, of course, and that's really what the larger paper is about.
So we want to point people to that, and we're going to talk more about the paper. One of the things that I have found very interesting in Christian circles growing up my whole life as a Christian, and now sort of navigating these things with my own kids and hosting podcasts where this topic comes up, people get very fired up about Santa Claus, mm-hmm. and the debate about whether or not it's appropriate to celebrate it. But one of the things I think is most interesting to understand is the roots of where Santa came from, right? And so what can you tell us about that? Because I think a lot of people don't know.
You're right. And I understand the people that feel like Santa Claus is kind of a symbol of how commercial and secular Christmas has become. And we had to focus on Jesus, not Santa, and all the stuff that's kind of inside that. But when you get to the background of it, kind of get to the history of it, you understand that really it's not that sort of a decision. We don't have to choose between the spiritual and the secular here, because they both have a spiritual and in many ways a very significant kingdom lesson to tell. So back in the late 3rd century, around 280 AD or so, there was a person named Nicholas. He became later to be known as Saint Nicholas. He lived in what we call Turkey today. He was one of the foremost champions for children, especially children with mental difficulties. He was known to care especially for the impoverished children in his community. He would leave gifts for them on their doorstep. He sometimes wore a red and white robe, was somewhat known for this as well, and was an advocate for children and families in the day. Eventually, he became canonized by the church and became known as Saint Nicholas. Over the centuries, as you kind of move that forward from the history into some of the mythology that grew up around it, and in the Danish context, Saint Nicholas became kind of anglicized as Santa Nicholas or Santa Claus. And so Santa Claus, as especially commemorized in the 19th century poem, Night Before Christmas and all of that, really has historic roots in a very significant Christian leader who did in a spiritual way what Santa Claus does in kind of a secular way today.
Is there a lot, would you say, because I know parents will, and I'm not going to answer the question for parents of whether or not they should celebrate this. I have a lot of relatives who get very frustrated. They feel like Santa should not be a part of Christmas for their kids. I know other Christians who have no problem with that. That's up to people and their own convictions and what they want to do. But what lessons, in light of what you just said, do you think that parents can take away from the real life Santa, Saint Nicholas?
Sure. Three lessons come to mind immediately for me. The first is that Christmas is a gift. Just as Santa Claus brings gifts to children, so it is that the gift of Jesus' birth is obviously something we couldn't earn or deserve. The Lord chose to become one of us that we might be one with him. The Father chose to give his son, chose to watch his son be born as a helpless, innocent baby and grow up to die as an innocent, sinless sacrifice for us. So first of all, Christmas, just like Santa Claus, is a gift. Second of all, the Lord loves children. He made us obviously as children. Jesus welcomed children. He warned his disciples that if we don't become like children, we can't really enter the kingdom of heaven. And third, the Lord blesses family. The marriage was in the first institution, you could say, created by the Lord. There were other ways God could have created a means of procreating life. He chose to do that through wedding and through marriage and family. Of all the miracles Jesus performed, when you think about it, his first miracle wasn't walking on water. It wasn't feeding 5,000. It was blessing a wedding. God loves families and loves to bless families. And the traditions of Christmas do that as well, I think.
So you are the co-founder of Denison Forum, and you are putting these amazing papers out, right? And so you have this latest paper on Santa. Why did you choose to write this one? Like, what made you say, you know, I'm going to tackle something that is important, but that is controversial a little bit? It is.
Well, thank you for asking me that. My mission essentially is twofold. It's to educate the church about the culture, to explain the culture to the church, as it were. And then second, to equip the church to respond to the culture. And so I'm kind of this theological middleman by calling. I did that as a pastor, as a seminary professor. I have a doctorate in philosophy. And my interest over all my years has been engaging in intellectual issues, cultural issues, in a way that could be explained to the church so the church could respond effectively and appropriately. That's what our ministry is all about. I do what we call a daily article. It's got a really fancy title. We put it out every morning very early, send it out. It's a free email to about 300,000 subscribers, 1.9 million. Million in total social audience. And every day it looks at the news, trying to ask, what is it in today's news that we as Christians need to know so that we can engage the culture more effectively for the kingdom? So if at the end of the day, people that read what I produce or listen to this conversation or the other content we produce, if they're able more effectively to shape the culture with the good news of God's love, then we've done what we're called to do. And at Christmas time, Santa Claus and all the traditions around that seem like an appropriate way to do what we're called to do.
So let me ask you about a couple of other traditions, and I want people to go and actually grab the paper. So I don't want to give every single piece of it away during this interview. But by the way, where can people go if they're listening right now and they actually want to dive into this a little bit more? Where can they go to read it?
Yeah, thanks. The website, denisonforum.org. And then when they do that, there's a resource tab. If they click on that, there's what does the Bible say about? And they'll see a whole host of things. What does the Bible say about racism? What does the Bible say about justice? What does the Bible say about statues? All the issues that have been in the culture. I do one of these papers about once a month or so. That happens to be the most recent one. It'll come up first. What does the Bible say about Santa Claus? And then they'll see the other papers that are like this on other social issues of the day.
Yeah, we had you on to talk about suicide. What does the Bible say about suicide? And these are essential issues. I think we're living in a time where people are very confused and where people in the church are very confused. And so I love your organization and I love what you do because you're actually confronting and dealing with helping people confront others who have questions about these things. And we all do at one point or another, right? So this is very important work and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you
for coming on again to talk about this. Now, I've got to ask about Christmas wreaths because, you know, there's all these things we do. I just hung a Christmas wreath, by the way, you know, I've already decorated for Christmas yesterday, but what is the meaning? Cause I feel like we don't know the meaning behind these things. We do them because they're tradition, but what is that one? Tell us.
That's a great question. And really, that's a terrific, I think, way to look at these traditions and in general and really culture in a larger sense. Why do we do what we do? Almost everything we do started someplace for some reason, didn't come out of thin air, even though we just kind of feel like we inherited it. And Christian wreaths are a good example of that. So back in the ancient Roman world, a wreath was like a gold medal. A laurel wreath was given to a victor of what we would think of as Olympic Games. They were given to people in military conquest and other conversation like that. And so a wreath was a symbol of victory. It was a symbol of celebration, as it were. So you bring that into a Christian context. Jesus' birth is our pathway to freedom from sin and the victory that we win in Christ. Now we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Scripture says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's the victory we have because of Christmas. And so placing a wreath on your door is telling the world, it's inviting your neighbors and those in your community to experience the victory that is ours through Jesus, our Lord.
That's so interesting to me. And I know, again, people get very upset when there are traditions that might be rooted or they started somewhere that wasn't Christian, right? What's interesting to me and what sort of resonates with me, and I think this even happened, and correct me if I'm wrong, but with the date of Christmas, you know, itself, that when there are traditions or practices that are happening, you know, being able to come in and sort of claim those and take them in and make them, I mean, what you said about the wreath, everything you just described, that's an amazing way to look at it and a reason to actually include wreaths in our Christmas celebrations, right? You're not honoring the original Roman intent. You're actually, you're actually honoring the real meaning of what Christmas is about. And that's powerful to me. It really is.
Well, thank you. And that's, again, I think an example of how we can engage culture most effectively. You think about Jesus with the woman at the well in John 4. She came for water, so we started with water and led her to living water. You think about Acts 17, where Paul's before the Greek philosophers. So he doesn't quote scripture because they would have rejected that. He quotes Epimenides and Arades, who were well-known poets of the day. He always starts where they are and leads them to where they need to be. You see that with the date of Christmas. Jesus was most likely born in the springtime. The shepherds were out keeping watch over their flocks by night, which they did in the springtime. And the Roman census would not have occurred in the winter when it was too difficult to travel. But the Romans had this birth of the sun kind of celebration around the winter solstice. And so eventually over the centuries, Christians began using that to celebrate the birth of the sun, S-O-N, using a pagan tradition for a spiritual purpose, building a bridge to the larger secular culture. They're not endorsing that, of course, just as Jesus wasn't endorsing the sinfulness of the woman in meeting her at the well, and Paul wasn't endorsing everything the Greek philosopher said. Greek philosopher, he met them where they were and led them where they needed to go. And that's the essence of Christian ministry.
The last thing I want to ask you about is Christmas trees. One thing in recent years there, and I guess that the controversy has always been there. I just hadn't realized that some people are uncomfortable with Christmas trees, that they feel like we're precluded as Christians from having Christmas trees, that they represent something very negative and pagan. What's your take on that? And what have you found in looking at that?
Yeah, the tradition on the Christmas tree per se, as we understand it, goes back to Martin Luther, the great reformer. As the story goes, he was on his way home one night. He had seen the stars through the trees in the forest there in Germany and wanted to bring something like that home to his family. So he brought home a tree and hung candles. The candle was an earlier symbol that Christians would put in their windows to celebrate Christ, the light of the world, and a way of telling the world that Jesus lives here, that he lives in this home, and he is Lord of this home. So by putting candles on trees, Martin Luther was wanting to replicate that beautiful nature and also remind us that Jesus died on a tree. died on a cross. The old curse was, cursed is everyone who dies on a tree or on a cross. And so the Christmas tree, in the sense that the reformers meant it, wasn't celebrating pagan tradition. It wasn't the worship of nature per se or something like that at all. It was using something in nature to bring us to the God of nature. It's using a tree to remember the one who was born to die, was born in a stable, in a cow stall, so that he could die on a cross for us. And that's the celebration of Christmas. Christmas leads to Easter. Jesus' birth leads to our second birth, to new birth. The best news of all.
Listen, I so appreciate you coming on. Again, give the website one more time so people will know where to go.
You bet. It's denisonforum.org, denisonforum.org. They can find the daily article. They can find our books. They can find the monthly papers and the other content that's available. All the digital content is free. We're a donor-based ministry, and so happy to be able to share it with people and grateful to have this conversation.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate you coming on again.
You bet.
That was Jim Dennison from the Dennison Forum, and I love getting a chance to talk about Christmas, so it was fun to dive into some of that history. Maybe you knew some of that, maybe you didn't, but now you do, and that's what the great thing about this podcast is. We tackle so many great topics of faith and entertainment and culture, and I hope you guys are going to join us in the new year when we come back for more. In the meantime, you want to head over to the Edify app, E-D-I-F-I, look for the PureFlix podcast over there, and you can listen to all of our past episodes. We've got like 80 or 90 episodes. I don't even know. We've got a ton of past content, and it is worth going back and listening to some of the amazing people we have had on this show. Colton Dixon, Karen Abercrombie, TC Stallings. We've had so many people on our show, and I'm looking forward to who's going to join us next year in 2021. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to all of you, and thanks so much for listening to the PureFlix podcast. Head over to insider.pureflix.com. In the meantime, we're going to have daily content still coming over there on the blogs. You want to check that out. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will see you in 2021.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix and on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the PureFlix podcast.